Hey everybody, Rob Mauer here. Happy Friday. Today we've got updates on the ranges that are listed on Tesla's vehicles on their website. We've also got a partnership with Samsung, some news on paint colors for the Model Y, and a couple other items as well. All right, looking at the stock, just to refresh my memory there. Looking at the stock, Tesla down 0.2% today to $237.50, 49 cents. The NASDAQ with its first green day of the year this year, with a finish up 0.1% on the day today. So relatively little movement for both the broader markets and for Tesla on the day. We'll start off with an analyst update. Argus has indicated that Tesla is one of their top picks for stocks for 2024. You can see that this is a pretty extensive list and across a number of different sectors, but in the consumer discretionary sector, Tesla being one of their top picks here. They do have a $316 price target on the stock, and they highlighted Tesla's growing dependence on artificial intelligence in their manufacturing process and factory utilization, which they feel has given Tesla a significant competitive advantage. They also point out that Tesla, with things like full self-driving, battery cell production, and AI-enabled robots, becoming a bigger part of the future at Tesla, and with other electric vehicle makers struggling to right-size their future capital expenditure budgets for EVs, they believe that Tesla has the opportunity to grow market share in 2024. So nice to see that from Argus, and actually interesting that they highlighted the AI role in Tesla's manufacturing abilities in this note today, because Tesla also highlighted that on X from their Gigafactories account, noting that Giga Shanghai today operates at 95% automation on the production line, enabling a cycle time of less than 40 seconds. So kind of a cool video. We won't play the whole thing here, but it goes through from... sound comes on there, but it goes through from the beginning to kind of the end of the production process, and you can see A to B, start to finish, in terms of all the different processes coming together to finally form a vehicle as it drives out of the factory. So we've known the cycle time, this isn't anything new, but just kind of nice to see that piece together in the way that Tesla has done it on X today. All right, probably the biggest news for today, Tesla has lowered the EPA estimates on their website for various different vehicles. All the vehicles except for the Model 3 affected, and potentially Cybertruck. We'll have to wait and see. Obviously, we don't have the full design studio, but for now, I don't think we've seen any changes on the Cybertruck. But you can see here, not a Tesla app recapping the changes to the various vehicles. The most significant was a 9% decrease in the estimated range on the Model S Plaid. You can see the various other decreases here, sort of in the 5%-ish range. So not hugely impactful, but for some vehicles like Model Y Performance, it's crossing a threshold between 300 miles and 285 miles. So changing that first digit there, which psychologically a little bit more impactful. So a pretty significant change, I would say, in terms of just the stated ranges, even though it is a little bit small in terms of the actual number or percent change. But the reason for this isn't anything to do with the vehicles. There's no difference in efficiency or battery capacity or anything like that that actually is changing the real world range. This is just a clarification on testing from the EPA. So they sent a letter out to auto manufacturers, and what this change has to do with is driving modes. So the test cycles previously, I don't believe, had to test for different driving modes. Like for Tesla, you might have sport mode versus chill mode, things like that. My understanding is that any of these driving modes that can be specified for a driver profile, or how they put it, latched to a driver profile, must be tested with the EPA test cycle. And I think the intent of this is so that you don't have a driving mode that is, amplifying efficiency in a way that isn't realistic to how a person would drive in the real world, and then trying to use that for the EPA test, which would obviously be pretty deceiving. But I think how it's actually being implemented is a little bit troublesome in terms of, the actual effect in the real world. So how this actually works is that if there are, again, these modes that can be latched to a driver profile, the manufacturer can either use the worst case one for the test, or they can determine the best case and the worst case out of all of those different available modes, and then test both of those, and then average those two. So I've seen some reporting on this today that says it's an average of all the modes, or different ride heights, or things like that. That's not my understanding reading through this. It's, a little bit difficult to fully interpret this, but this is kind of the most succinct way that I've seen it worded in this sort of updated guidance. So basically take the worst driving mode, best driving mode, average those out throughout the test cycle. Now, this does probably result in more realistic real-world ranges. We've talked a lot about EPA, WLTC, CLTC, I think there was another one in there in China, NE something, NEDC. We've talked a lot about these test cycles over the years and how they don't necessarily always reflect real-world range. So anything that is causing those to show decreased numbers, yeah, that's going to be a more realistic reflection probably of real-world range, especially if we're talking about real-world highway range, which is generally probably more important to range figures. But I think the way that this is going about being implemented, it kind of reminds me of, you know, if you're doing a math homework problem or a math test or something in, let's say, in grade school or middle school or something like that, and you get the right answer, but you did it in an incorrect way, your math teacher might not give you full points. This is kind of what that reminds me of. It seems like, yes, maybe it's ultimately yielding something that's a little bit more accurate, but I think the reason for the, you know, the update or the more accurate result isn't really the best implementation, because it's really not giving any credit to drivers to be able to understand why they might want to or why they might select different driving modes. And sometimes those things can be pretty easy to understand, right? It might be as simple as selecting a range mode if you're trying to maximize your range. And a lot of EVs have modes like that. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense for me to say, okay, you know, your driver might not understand that, so even though there's a range mode, you also have to test it in a performance mode that maybe isn't amplifying for those types of things. When if they are trying to travel for long distances, they could pretty easily select a range mode. So yes, maybe ultimately yielding more accurate real-world results, but it seems like the process for getting there is pretty flawed in my opinion, and doesn't really respect, you know, drivers' capability of understanding these different things. So I think probably well-intentioned, but poorly implemented. I think in general, the whole sort of EPA testing or WLTC, whatever test cycle is, it really should just be built up from scratch, right? There are a number of different flaws in here, certainly with the EPA test cycle, like speed, various different things. There's, you know, these aren't even tested outdoor. So it would be nice if this could just be sort of rebuilt and started from the ground up. But obviously, with all of the things that are tied into this from a legislative and a regulatory perspective, tied into EPA ratings and things like that, it's unrealistic to expect something like that to happen. So it's a little bit unfortunate, but nevertheless, I think the biggest thing to understand here is that nothing really changes in terms of the actual ranges of Tesla vehicles, just the updated EPA estimates there. The interesting thing, too, that I wanted to point out is that this is only guidance for battery electric vehicles. I'm not sure why, because ICE vehicles could certainly have different driving modes, and I don't know if there's other guidance for that that kind of ties that in, but this is specifically for BEVs only. So I don't know if that's like a level playing field again with some other guidance that applies for ICE vehicles, but kind of strange to see that specifically for just BEVs. All right, the other update that we have in the design studio today is the Model Y in North America has now received the Stealth Gray and Ultra Red paint colors. So the Stealth Gray is available as the included default base color for free, Ultra Red coming in at $2,000 for that color option. So we've seen this now with the Model S and the Model X now making its way to the Model Y in North America. I think we've seen it pop up in, I want to say, Giga Shanghai. I can't recall exactly, but we've seen this before. So now an expansion of these two colors to Tesla's most popular vehicle in North America. So presumably we'll see that update with Model 3 Highland. I think that's where we've seen it before, now that I'm remembering it, internationally. And I would imagine that as Fremont transitions, we'll probably see that for the Model 3 as well. All right, next up, we've got an announcement from Samsung. They are announcing that Samsung will be integrating with Tesla's API, Tesla's various products like Powerwall, home battery, solar inverter, wall connector, charging solutions, and EVs into their SmartThings sort of smart home type of system. So for iPhone users or Apple users, this would be something that's sort of comparable to Apple's HomeKit, where you'd be able to see various different connected devices and kind of manage those in one integrated hub. This now allows Tesla products to be integrated into that with the Tesla API. So kind of cool to see that. Samsung's VP or EVP of their Internet of Things development team said that Tesla Energy customers can now manage and monitor the power status of their homes through SmartThings Energy and Samsung devices in addition to the Tesla app, ensuring more access and connectivity. So kind of cool to see that. I would imagine that as this happens with Samsung, we'd probably see this hopefully integrated into other similar setups as well. but kind of nice for those people that do have that smart things set up. So we'll hear a little bit more about that at CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, coming up pretty soon. All right, next up, we've got a report out of Sweden. So Tesla already covering this today, saying that IF Metal, of course, is, you know, trying to engage in the strike or sympathy strike, you know, kind of against Tesla in Sweden, which we've talked quite a bit about. They have offered one solution to resolve this, which could be for Tesla to hire a contractor to help with logistics and interface essentially with the transport workers union, which is sort of facilitating the strike against Tesla. So kind of weird. I mean, basically they're suggesting, hey, work with a unionized, you know, intermediary, and that would resolve the issues that they seemingly have. But I thought the whole purpose of this originally was to be striking in sympathy with Tesla workers, and I don't really see how this would change anything for Tesla workers if there's just an intermediary layer between the entities. It doesn't really seem like that changes anything for the, you know, the end party, which would be Tesla, which apparently this is supposed to all be for kind of their protection, or, you know, even though the Tesla workers themselves aren't actually striking. It's all very convoluted at this point, but the solution doesn't really seem to match the, you know, alleged issues. So I think it just shows that, again, it's more about the threat to the union than it really is about the workers for Tesla specifically. So we'll see. I don't know if Tesla will pursue that option. I'm not sure exactly how that would come to be. I think Amazon has done something like that, it sounds like, but you know, we'll obviously continue to keep an eye on it. All right, we've got another recall, quote-unquote recall. This is in China. This is the exact same autopilot or very similar autopilot update that we had talked about with all the U.S. recall news that we'd heard about recently. So a couple million vehicles in the U.S., of course, 1.6 million vehicles in China that are going to receive the over-the-air software update to update autopilot with some of the things that Tesla integrated in terms of the front camera, the monitoring, things like that that have been on FSD, now coming over to autopilot. Most importantly, though, just another over-the-air update that is, again, getting reported as a recall. So we've talked plenty about those as well. All right, next up, we've got a lucky new Cybertruck owner here with Pharrell Williams, music producer, very involved in the fashion world these days, but pretty big celebrity. I think he's got like 15 million followers on Instagram. He's got a Cybertruck now, it looks like. So he's pulling up to some event and showing off the Cybertruck a little bit. Some excellent parking there. But, you know, getting the job done, I guess. He, you know, exciting to see someone of this prominence, you know, kind of showing this off. It's obviously good marketing for Tesla, you know, for this to be, you know, seen like this. So I think nice to see that, and definitely happy for Williams on that. And then the last couple of things, we do have Elon commenting on a list of things that Tesla has delivered or Elon has delivered, you know, over the many, many years here by Alex Voigt on X, and mentioning some of the things that are coming: compact car, full self-driving, robotaxi, humanoid robot, etc. Elon replied to this saying a few other products coming too. So it's exciting. We haven't heard a whole lot about things that are, you know, beyond the roadmap, but Elon has alluded to things like that before that Tesla's working on that we just don't know anything about yet. So another little teaser for those types of things. Maybe not specifically Tesla, but I think these are all Tesla-related things, so hopefully that does apply here. So kind of exciting to see that comment from Elon. And then the last thing for today, just a quick look at the calendar for next week. We will have CPI and PPI reports coming. Those will be on Thursday and Friday morning. All right, that'll wrap it up for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on X at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you on Monday for the January 8th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.